This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولًا سديدًا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Brothers and sisters in Islam, the title of our khutbah today is Trust and Covenants, and it's from the verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the surah by informing us that by describing those who have succeeded, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So successful are the believers. So Allah describes those who have succeeded and those who are successful, and their first description is that they are believers. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives certain descriptions and characteristics of these believers until he gets to the verse that we want today, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those who guard their trusts and their covenants. When you entrust them with something, they will never betray that trust. When they have a covenant between you or and them or anyone else or an entity, they do not betray that covenant in any way. Likewise in Surah An-Nisa, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَن تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ إِلَىٰ آخِرِ الْآيَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you that you return the amanat, things that you are entrusted with, you return them to their rightful owners. In Sahih al-Bukhari, narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, مَتَ السَّاعَةَ. When is the hour? Meaning, when is the day of judgment? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam responded to him, قَالَ إِذَا ضُيَّعَتِ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. If the trust is lost, meaning you, no one keeps their trust anymore. You entrust them with something, they betray you. You give them something of value, they take it. And you cannot trust people anymore. Because as we know, the hour will only come upon the worst of creation. So what is a sign that the hour is getting close? That people are start to not be trustworthy. So he asked, كَيْفَ إِضَاعَتُهَا? How will it be lost? He said, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَى غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. He said, when the affair is given to the one that is not the right person, unworthy, someone that is not worthy of that position, then await the hour. And just based on this hadith, half of us are awaiting the hour then. Because we've seen this. Yani, when is the last time you saw the right person in the right position? Or the right leader in the right position? When this starts to happen, you know that the hour is drawing near. There is a famous hadith that we all know and memorize in Sahih al-Bukhari, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, here are the signs, the indicators of one who is a hypocrite. And we know that the hypocrite is in the worst and the lowest level of the hellfire. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ. The hypocrites will be in the lowest rank of the hellfire, meaning the worst part of the hellfire. So they're in the worst position. So that means we don't ever want to resemble them or be like them in any way, shape, or form. But the famous hadith, as we know, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ayatul Munafiqi Thalath. There are three signs of a hypocrite. Idha haddatha kadhab. When he speaks, he lies. Wa idha wa'ada akhlaf. And when he promises, he breaks that promise. Wa idha tumina khan. When he is entrusted with something, he betrays that trust. Meaning, it could be that you give him something that is valuable or wealth, and he will betray and he will take it. Or you give him a secret. The scholars even said, even the secret, he will convey or tell your secret to others. If it's a right that it's upon him to make sure it is given or so on, he will betray that as well. Just an important clarification here is that a lot of times, if you promise someone, and then you have an accident or you fall ill, they always quote half of this hadith. They tell you what's the sign of the hypocrite. Yeah, and you promised me, you didn't show up. The scholar said that's not what it means. The scholar said the hypocrite, while he is promising you, next Wednesday we're going to do this, while he's saying that to you, he knows very well that next Wednesday he's in Dallas. That's the difference. Not someone who honestly promised you something and then due to circumstances outside of their control, they couldn't make the promise, then that means they have the sign of a hypocrite. But that's what it means. But the point is that when we see qualities in people that we don't want to be, we don't want to be hypocrites, we don't want to be like the misguided, so we want to put effort to make sure that quality is not in us. So this also includes not just secrets, valuables, wealth, rights, also includes our relationship with our employer. And also include that's a type of covenant and a type of trust. And also includes if we have employees, or if you're a manager and you have subordinates, or you're a teacher with your students, all these are trusts and covenants. Especially when it comes to leaders. And we've seen leaders and how they behave when it comes to what we entrust them with. With wealth and with our lives, you see leaders stealing the wealth as if it belongs to them. You see them disregarding the lives of or the population. They disregard the lives. Whereas in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he cared about the lives of his companions. Yani, do you know one time when the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't care if his companions will be killed or butchered severely in battle because they're going to Jannah anyways? Do you know how great it is to be a martyr? They're going to die anyways. They're going to be in the highest level. So therefore, let them die. Did you ever once hear something like that? But where did we get this lack of care for the lives of the believing men and women? Where did we get that? In Mecca, why weren't the believers allowed to fight back in Mecca? Because they were a minority. They would all be killed. Because Islam valued their life. Uhud and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't want to go out and meet the enemy in the battlefield. He wanted to meet them in Medina as he did later on in Al-Khandaq. Why? And he even saw that in the dream that many of his companions will be killed. He cared. Now we get leadership, they make a decision that kills thousands and thousands of men and women and children, and they don't care. And we hear speeches, and we will present another 1 million shuhada for the... Why a million shuhada? And who gave you the right to decide to kill, to have 1 million people die? Who gave you that right? So where's caring for people's lives? Where was this ever in the seerah? Where was this ever in Islam? Where do we ever learn that land is more valuable than lives? This is something that has been ingrained in our minds in the recent years, and it's stuck now. And even some of you don't like me saying this. But the soul of one believer is greater than land. And bring evidence if you disagree. And we have evidence. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said the destruction of the Kaaba is easier in the sight of Allah than the extermination of one Muslim. One, the Kaaba. But this is from the trust. People in charge, they care about people's lives. They care about the wealth. This is a trust. But in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said it's going to be scarce. And that's why we're not seeing it much. He said it's going to be so scarce that there will be, you will hear people say, in the village of so-and-so, in the tribe of so-and-so, there is one honest person there. There's a trustworthy, one trustworthy guy. Just like that. That's how scarce it's going to be. In Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, narrated by Ahmad, Prophet said, لا إيمان لمن لا أمانة له. There is no iman for the one who does not have amana. And we see it scarce. You go to the Muslim lands and you see how government workers behave in the offices, police officers, and how they take rashawa and bribes. Muslims in the West, we're not far from that. I don't want to be crass in this khutbah, but we have a lot of problems. One of my friends is an imam, and he has a workshop on sexual abuse. He said, wallahi, when I finish the workshop, the line is to the wall. People waiting in line to tell me about their sexual abuse stories. And it's relatives. I was sexually abused by my uncle, by Mush'arif Meen, by my stepfather. Stepfather? Tabwan al-amana. Where's the trust? So common now to hear about stepfathers. This girl looks at you like you're her own dad. And this is how you look at her. What happened to the trust? So it's a lot of problems, and this khutbah is not meant to be a beat down or anything like that. But we all need to review ourselves and our lives and see. And we'll talk about that in the second khutbah. But I wanted to give the story of Ibn Aqil, rahimahullah. He was a Hanbali faqih. And he one time in Hajj, and this story is about the reward of your trustworthiness. He was in Hajj and he found a pouch with a very expensive necklace. So in Hajj, how are you going to find the owner with thousands of people? But he spent his days and nights asking around, until someone told him, there was an old man yesterday asking about this necklace that he lost. Until he found the old man, he gave it to him, he refused to even take a reward from him. And then Hajj is over, he says, I was going to go back to Baghdad, but I was not in any hurry. He's single, he's not going back for a job or anything. He said, I just started to take my time. I said, I'll make my way slowly to Baghdad. So I went to Dimashq first, and it was a cold night, so I slept in this masjid. And then when Fajr came, they saw him as a person of knowledge, so they had him lead the salah. Then they liked his recitation. Then they asked him to stay and lead them in Ramadan. Then he stayed with them in Ramadan. Then they said, because the imam of the masjid had passed on, they asked him to lead Ramadan. Then they said, we have a young girl, and why don't you get married and stay? And he got married to this woman, and then he says, Allah blessed me with a boy, a baby boy from her. He said, then after a while, she fell ill, and she was now on her deathbed. So she gave me the same pouch I gave the old man. He said, when I saw it, I was startled. I said, how do you have it? He said, this used to belong to my father, the imam of the masjid you replaced. He tells her the story of how he gave it back to him. She said, subhanAllah. Ever since my father returned from Hajj, he used to always make dua. Oh Allah, give me a young man just like that one who found the necklace so I can marry him to my daughter. Or how about the example of the great scholar Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, who borrowed a pen from someone in Sham. He says, I didn't remember it until I was in Maru, in Persia. He borrowed a pen from someone in Sham, And I didn't remember until I was in Maro. And he went back. This is not on an airplane. This is on riding animals weeks and weeks until he got back and he returned the pen. And just as there's great reward, there's also great punishment for betraying trust. And there was a story that happened in our times of someone who entrusted 100,000 with one of his friends, but they didn't write anything. They didn't write down the loan or anything like that. And when he comes back for his money, the man said, "Do you have any piece of paper or anything written to prove that I have this money?" The guy says, "No." He says, "Leave." He says, "Wallahi, the same day I kicked him out and I stole his 100,000, he said, the same day I lost 500,000. This is in property and in stocks and whatever he had. He lost 500,000 in the same day. And his wife told him, "That's because you betrayed the man. That's because you were unjust to the man." And he says, "Even then, I wouldn't give him his 100,000 back." And time passed, and then my children were involved in a car crash, and I lost all three of them at one go. And my wife again told me, "That's what you get for betraying the man." But being honest and trustworthy, this is a constant quality in the believer. Yani, it's a constant quality in me, no matter the person I'm dealing with. It's not that I'm only honest if I'm dealing with a Muslim. But with a non-Muslim, it's okay, khalas. Or it's with the government, it's okay, I can cheat. Or with tests and exams at school, it's about dunya, it's a cheat. But it's a constant quality in you. You're honest, you're trustworthy, whether you're dealing with a Muslim or a non-Muslim, a government or an individual. And in Surah Al-Mu'minun, we said, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. They also guard their covenants. In the hadith, the Qudsi hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions three types of people. He says, three types of people, I will be their opponent on the day of judgment. So when you oppose someone, you either win or they win. If your opponent is Allah azza wa jal, what's the outcome, the clear outcome? You will lose. So the first of them, رَجُلٌ أَعْطَى أَيْوَى رَجُلٌ أَعْطَى بِي ثُمَّ غَدَرْ. Yani, the scholars explain this is someone that using the name of Allah, he was trusted because of the name of Allah Azza wa Jal. So he was given because of that, and he betrayed. And the Prophet ﷺ said, four traits, if you have them, you're a hypocrite. Yani, if you have these four things together, you're a hypocrite. وَإِذَا عَاهَدَ غَدَرَ. And whenever he has a covenant, he betrays. أَقُولُ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ الْعَظِيمَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَمِيعَ الذُّنُوبِ فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ فَيَا فَوْزَ الْمُسْتَغْفِرِينَ. Ask Allah Azza wa Jal for His forgiveness. Indeed, those who ask for His forgiveness shall prosper. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So how can I become someone who is trustworthy, guards their trusts, covenants, whether they're at work, whether with at home with the family, wife? Basically, become a person who is more concerned with making sure you give everyone around you their rights before you ask for yours. You understand? Make sure you are always checking, am I giving this person their right? Yani, let's look at it this way. Imagine there's two couples. One of them, the minute he wakes up, he thinks, is she giving me my rights? La, she still didn't give me this one and this one and this one and this one. The woman wakes up, he didn't give me this one and this one and this one and this one and this one. And her list is longer, of course. Which will be happier, this couple or the other couple? He wakes up and says, am I giving her all her rights? I'm falling short in this area. And she wakes up and she says, am I giving him all his rights? Which couple do you think will last longer? Which couple do you think will do better? Because one of the scholars said, he said, on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you if you got all your rights. First, he will ask you if you gave others their rights from you. Sah wa la? Allah azza wa jalla will not ask you if you secured all your rights in this dunya. He will ask you if you gave everyone else their rights. So that should be the number one question in your mind. But today, everything is about rights. Yeah, and even our books, the rights of women, the rights of the husband, the rights of the children, our khutab, the rights of women, the rights of the man. It's all about you getting your rights. So we've been put in that condition to be in that state where we're always making sure nobody tramples my rights. And if anyone dares to think of it, out comes our phone and we make a big ruckus and a fuss because our rights are the most important thing. More important than that, make sure other people get their rights from you. Because that's what Allah Azza wa Jalla will ask you about. And if you make sure every morning that your wife has all her rights from you, she will reciprocate, even without telling her. She will reciprocate, and she will start to make sure you have all her rights from her. With that, we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to make us of those who recognize the truth as clear truth and follow the best of it. And to make us of those who recognize falsehood as clear falsehood and abstain from it. Allahumma arina al-haqq haqqan warzuqna tiba'ah. Wa arina al-batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. اللهم لا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا إلى النار مصيرنا اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان في اليمن وفي السودان وفي فلسطين يا رب العالمين اللهم اجمعهم على الكتاب والسنة وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم أفرغ عليهم صبرا وثبت أقدامهم وانصرهم على القوم الظالمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصلى الله وبارك على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم ورحمكم الله